You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
It is so good to have with us today David Strahan and his wife Susan and one of their children, Garrison, who is going to participate in this service. We're blessed because he gets to be a part of this early service. This man is the head of missions and men for the Assemblies of God for the state of Alabama. And Luke and I had an opportunity last year to travel to Nepal with David and a small group of pastors and make a connection. And I made a lifelong friend. This man is anointed. He's in a position to make a difference. He's affecting the world through missions, and we are really blessed to have him in service with us today. So I'd like the whole Strahan family to stand, and would you give an Island Church welcome to the Strahans this morning? Come on.
Let there be light. And light was. Into the darkness entered light, and into the daylight entered night. It seems that one thing led to another, and here we are. Nothing but dirt-covered flesh, not even knowing how to take a breath. The thought of death as far off as the stars. It was just us and God. Perfection. Before the world knew rejection. Before this world had affairs inside of it. Before this world knew of fights and riots, missing flights and pilots, missile strikes and violence, the sudden rise and frights of a virus while truth and rights get silenced by the vice of tyrants. Before this darkness had a name, there was perfection. And the connection between us and God was more than just a prayer, but it was a face-to-face meeting until one day sin entered the world and everything changed. Orchestrated so deviously that the previously forbidden fruit was now on display without any dispute, its evil roots hanging by the tail of the seductively sweet serpent's grasp like a slick snake in the grass, one bite. And our perfection was gone. And this darkness was all that we knew. And so we ran and we hid naked and ashamed. We wondered how this came to be, but I heard a voice in the distance calling out, Adam, Eve. But I couldn't dare answer who was calling out to me. And now 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. You see, we're so scared of what other people might think, so we run and hide in the shadows without any light until a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night rolls around with our hands raised high and our heads bowed down. We're lukewarm, knowing that there is a spiritual storm right outside our windows. We're content. Just sitting here acting like our pastors are the only preachers that Jesus sent. I mean, yes, our pastors can preach, but their voices can only reach as far as your hands go. And right now they're going so slow, like you've already deceased. It's like when they preach, they're preaching to an already dead church, like you've already rehearsed it. It's like we're ashamed. It's like we're ashamed of a man who hung unashamed and naked on a tree. It's like we're ashamed. It's like we're ashamed of a man who stands by us even in our darkest of hours. Like when Eve took and bit into that apple, sour reaction that shook to the core of humanity. Insanity to think that God still loves us enough to offer us his grace. Our faith, Christianity, Yes, the surrender is so hard, but the victory is oh so sweet, so unafraid and unashamed. May we be the ones to stand up and say, let there be light. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Did you guys enjoy that? Hallelujah, man. Thank you to my son. He's my firstborn. And since the other three kids are not here today, he is my favorite child. Amen. So glad that he's here. Amen. Thank you, Garrison, for blessing it. Man, what a great church. Man, I don't know about you, but I would not want to be anywhere else but right here with you this morning at Island Church. Amen. I mean, how can you not love this place? And if you're a guest, maybe if you came by accident, maybe you're going to the Catholic place down the street. We don't believe in accidents. We believe God ordained your steps and brought you right here. And by the way, you have a great staff. I am more than delighted to be here. In fact, I'm very honored to be here. But we love the staff. Pastor Luke, wherever he's at, dude, I love Pastor Luke, man. I love him. Loved his voice. The worship was great. And then, you know, Freddie's not bad either. You know what I'm saying? Your little boy and your daughter. So anyway, love him. Matt's one of the heroes across the district. We're so grateful for him. And then Philip and Jenny. I've known Jenny the longest probably out of all of them. And Philip, man, can I just hear a roll tide from you guys this morning? All right, good. Love them. And then this is what I was thinking about last night. You got to love Pastor Fred and Pastor Liz. I was thinking about this last night. I want to be like him. Does anyone else want to be like Pastor Fred? Did you see his new car? Should I talk about that? I don't know if I should or not, man. I mean, I really thought about this last night. He's the James Dean of preachers. You know what I'm saying? Or in today's culture, he's the Brad Pitt of preachers. I'm the Will Ferrell of preachers. You know what I'm saying? I love your pastors. I love their hearts, their leadership. Man, they are a gift to you. And Pastor Fred, thank you. Thank you for trusting me to come and just your friendship. Man, we had a blast last night. We had a blast in Nepal, very much so. I want to talk a little bit to you this morning about missions, Let There Be Light. And he touched right on it about the fact that the church sometimes is ashamed today. Well, we have an opportunity today to stand up unashamed through our giving. And to let there be light across this planet, through this church, through our own lives. And I have this thought that's been running through my head. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to tell you some stories and pull out of some scripture. But there is a pattern in scripture that teaches us about giving and generosity. And God wants to take care of all of your needs, but that isn't all he wants to do. He wants to multiply above your needs so that you can affect, in fact, Titus says, the urgent needs of the world. And that's what today is all about, urgency. It's about that there's a short window of time for us to respond in. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you what, stand with me right now. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to get into this service today. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for Island Church, Lord, what they already do for missions, God, how they are already engaged. And Lord, I'm just grateful for the opportunity that we today can partner even more with you for this coming up year. Lord, what is it you want to do with us and through us? And I do ask, Lord, not just for this Sunday, but this entire month as they are emphasizing missions, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, that we would respond to the moving of your Holy Spirit. As Pastor said earlier, we're not moved by emotions. We're not moved by intellect. God, we want to be led by your Spirit. And we know, Lord, that you will provide if we will follow you, Lord, in obedience. And we give you praise for what you are doing and for what you will do. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, maybe say, I want to talk to you this morning on the power of the gospel. And there's a scripture, it might be very familiar to you, I don't know, but Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it's one of the scriptures that jumped off the pages whenever I read it, whenever I was in college. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 18 years old. I was at a junior college in Mississippi, raised in church, but didn't know God. In fact, I thought I knew about God, except for whenever I started looking in the Bible, I didn't know that there wasn't a book of David. Because, you know, there's books with all these other stories and, you know, and all these other names out there, but there's no book of David. I knew there was David and Goliath. And And so there's so much I had no clue about. But I can tell you one thing I did know. God was real. And I didn't want to go to hell. And I wanted to know him. And so at a young age, I began reading the Bible and in college. And this is one of the scriptures that just jumped off the page at me. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I'm reading out the New King James Version. This is what Paul writes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about this power, and we're going to talk about the word gospel. And just four simple things. Number one, the gospel is bold. He talked about being ashamed and unashamed and the difference. And the truth is we live in this politically charged, you know, climate. Everything's polarized so that everyone's trying to draw us to the middle, that we're tolerant on all things and we don't speak anything. Now listen, we don't need to be a church that's screaming down at people that God hates them and God, you know, naming all their sins. I'm not saying we ought to do that. But there are moments in our life that we have not only the opportunity, but the responsibility to speak forth the word of God and the gospel message in a loving way. And if you look in scripture, the gospel's bold. By the way, Paul's writing this letter, and he's writing to the church there at Rome, and he's actually on his third missionary journey. He's in a place called Corinth, somewhere around AD 57 or so. And he'd been asked to go there, he had it in his heart to go to Rome many times. It was the furthest west from where the gospel generated out of the Middle East. And his goal was to go to Spain, but he was going to go to Rome on his way to Spain. And he was appealing to the Roman church to help him, but also to say, hey, I'm there. And he says in the earlier scripture, he says, I am eager to preach this gospel to you. I'm indebted both to the educated and the uneducated. I feel like I've got a message that I can share with anybody, no matter where you are in life. Because he says, I know that this thing works. There's a boldness. And I want to encourage you this morning, Island Church. We need to share the gospel and be eager to share. We get to share the gospel. We get to witness to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know where I came from. And I know that there was a miraculous moment in August of 1983 in my grandmother's house in the back bedroom where I just fell on my knees after a hard night of out with my friends. And around 3 o'clock or so in the afternoon, I said, God, if you're real, show up and show me you love me. And he did it. Yeah. And it was amazing. It was like, I describe it like driving down the road and your windshield's all dirty and you don't even know it's dirty for a while because you're used to it. But when you get the windshield cleaned off, everything's bright and clean. All the colors are vivid. And that's exactly what happened in my life. Everything became vivid that moment whenever I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell people about that. I want them to know that there's an answer to whatever they're going through. And I want to encourage you. I want you to begin asking God, God, help me, Lord. Give me opportunities. We want to give today. We're going to take care of that. I believe God's going to use you, but I can tell you, your mission field is not just in Africa. Your mission field is right here in Orange Beach and Foley and everything around you, in your own neighborhoods, on your jobs. I love the prayer of the early church, as a matter of fact, because Jesus was polarizing, and so were the early disciples. And we know the story of Peter and John, how the lame man was healed there at the Gate Beautiful, and they began to preach. The Bible says 5,000 men were added to them that day. And they were there in Solomon's portico, and the Sadducees, who did not believe in any form of resurrection, were offended at the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they came and arrested him. They took him in front of the Sanhedrin. They couldn't beat him because they were Jewish, and they didn't want to do anything to upset those that would be on their side. But they got together and they said, well, we cannot tolerate them preaching this message in the name of Jesus. So the Bible says they threatened them sternly. Do not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Let me stop and say, that is where we are in today's culture. You know, I mean, the media and Hollywood and politicians and everybody else is telling us you can't do that. And listen, I don't know what it is around here, whether or not you can stand up in your football games and pray or whatever. But even if you can't do that, there's always an opportunity for you to share. There's always an opportunity for you to speak love and the gospel and freedom to those that are around you. So they were facing these threatenings, and they let him go, and they came back to where the other disciples were. They shared the news with him, what was going on. And, you know, I don't know how you'd respond, but, I mean, it was a serious deal. They were threatened. I mean, people were saying, we're going to kill you. If you don't quit, you know, we're going to kill you. I love what they prayed. They gathered in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, and they said, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness, everyone say boldness, they may speak your word. And then listen, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You know what? My first prayer for you is that you would get boldness this morning to share the gospel. God, fill this church with boldness. Amen. Would you just lift up your hand if that's you and say, God, fill me with boldness right now. Fill this church with boldness. That's what I praise. David wrote in the Psalms, verse 40, said, I was silent to share about the justice and faithfulness. I have not been afraid to speak out. I was not silent. I have not been afraid to speak out. There's a picture up on your screen. It's about a pastor in Nepal. I don't know. I don't think you met him on this trip, but I went to Nepal the year before, and Nepal is one of the most remote countries in the world. If you know where it's at, it's nestled on the southern Tibetan border. And they just passed this week, I don't even know if you read this, that they just criminalized evangelism in this country. And for years, it was a closed country. And because there's an economy was starting to fade away, the government began to get involved. They opened up their borders for businesses to get in. And missionaries began to get in now. That's the reason why we're in there. Is because they have business platforms and we can go in and they just build relationships, and then through relationships they're leading people to the Lord. But whenever they got in Nepal, they found out that this church did not die. This church was thriving, was doing well. And so we were able to partner with them. And nestled on the southern border of Tibet, you will find them in the Himalayan mountains. And one of the great things we got to do was see Mount Everest through a plane window. It was incredible. But this pastor here was a pastor that I met that told me a story. He pastors a church now of 500 people. He's planted over 100 churches himself out of his church. He raises up leaders, sends them out, funds them, and then lets them plant. Incredible man of God. Incredible man of God. His daughter's in his lap, but he began to tell me, so when I was 21 years old, I got saved. He said, I really started, you know, understanding what the gospel was all about. And he said, I was sent by my pastor to start a church, and right there in Kathmandu. And so he went to this area of Kathmandu and began preaching and stuff. And the people in Kathmandu didn't like what he was preaching. They weren't happy with it. So there was some unsettledness there around. But his church was growing ever so slightly. Well, there was a civil war that happened about 20 years ago. And in the civil war, the communists were trying to come in and take over. And they would literally overrun neighborhoods and areas. And so whatever was going on in that area, it didn't matter what kind of government the national government was, they controlled that area. And they were overrunning that area of Kathmandu where this pastor is pastoring. And they came in, they saw his compound, and his compound wasn't that large. I would say maybe it's about five or six times larger than just this area in here. And they came in and they told him, they said, we want your compound. We're going to have a gathering, and we're going to bring in some communists from all over the world, and we're going to do some training here, and we're going to do some military exercises, and we're going to take over your compound. And he talked to him. He said, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to be able to do this. And they said, well, we're going to take it from you. It doesn't matter. We're going to take it from you anyway. And so he said that, well, I've got people. We meet in a church. So they went back and forth. The guys came and beat him up. They beat him up. They threatened him. We're going to come after your family. We're going to do things. Well, being a Christian, what law that was there, they did not go and defend Christians. They weren't there to help Christians out. So he was beat up. He was going through stuff. And they came back to him and they said, not only are we going to take it, but we want you to provide all the food for it. He said, I have no money. I don't know how I can provide the food. And they said, it doesn't matter. You need to do it. Not only are we going to bring 200 men, now we decided 300. And again, they threatened him, threatened his wife. They said they were going to kill his children, going to kill his wife, all of these things. And he was troubled. So he went to his church and began to say, what do we do? We need to pray. He had some people that told him, fold up and leave and give them the property. Go away. But he said to him, I can't. I can't do it. He said, there's something in my heart that says I'm part of something bigger than what's going on right now. And he is, and he was. And the thing is, he battered back and forth, and God miraculously gave him favor with a government official who had the authority through a letter to write and sign his name that would force the communists to leave this man alone. And after they prayed, there was a man, they didn't know what to do, but there's a man in his leadership that God miraculously gave him the name of the man to contact in the government. And this pastor says, do you know him? He said, no, I don't know him, but I've heard that he's kind to Christians. And when he approached the man said, I don't know if I can do anything. But within a week later, he got a visit from the communist who came and apologized to him and said, we're so sorry for messing with you. We will not be back. Now, let me tell you something. Amen. Because of that, because he took a stand, because he was bold, because he believed God, we now have a thriving church in Kathmandu of over 500 people and sending out hundreds more planting churches. The gospel is bold. The gospel is good news. As a matter of fact, the word gospel means good news. And the languages of expression around the world, they don't have a direct translation, so they try to use a phrase that captures it. So good news in some languages are the news that makes one happy, or information that causes one joy, or words that bring smiles, or a phrase was a message that causes the heart to be sweet. I love all those kind of descriptions. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about linguistics, and if you know a guy by the name of Mark Rutland, Dr. Mark Rutland, I was in a master's program with him, and he shared this story. He said that as he traveled and studied languages, that not every language has a greeting in the morning of good morning. They don't know how to translate that. And he was in Africa one time, and he was talking to him, and he heard the phrase they used, and he said, can you explain that phrase? What does it actually mean whenever you get up in the morning? And the guy said, oh, it's real simple. He said, we don't say good morning. He said, but what we do say is when we get up and we see someone the next morning, we say, brother, I made it through the night and I'm still alive. know? We're alive. We're alive with good news today. You know, I can tell you that God wants you to be bold. God wants you to share the good news with those that are around you, no matter what's going on. There's another picture up here on the screen of a young lady named Momo. And Momo, I met her in Burma. Momo is an incredible young lady. She has a testimony where she, as a young girl, about 9 or 10, her father passed away. She has an older brother and her mom, and they tried to take care of her parents, or tried to take care of her mom, and she had to quit school to work for her mother. And Momo tells a story about how she doubted God. She was angry. She's like, if God's real, why am I going through this? She was a Buddhist. Her family were Buddhists. But she just didn't understand. So she began praying, Lord, you know, if you're real, you've got to show up. And she didn't know how to say the Lord. She just said God, generically. Wherever you are, if you're a creator God, whoever you are, I need you to show me you're real. If not, I don't believe that you're there. And she went into a coffee shop one day with a business platform that I was speaking of earlier, because that's the strategy that we have. And there's a little coffee shop there, and she went inside and she met a missionary. And the missionary didn't share the gospel with them. They just became friends to her. They began having coffee with her. They began talking about things. They had an English as a second language class. She went up there, and then one day she came to him. She said, I don't get it. You're different. You're different than everyone else that I've ever met. And they said, yeah, we're different. She said, I need you to tell me why. He said, well, be here tonight. We have a little Bible study. It's English, but we study the Bible to learn English. And she showed up, and that night they shared the gospel with her. Over 6 months, she began working at a coffee shop, and over 6 months, she finally gave her heart to the Lord. And then in the process, her mom rejects her. Her mom turns her back on her, because how dare you shame the family and leave the faith of your fathers, the faith of your heritage. I can tell you, there's a great portion of the world today that fight that familial pressure that they have to follow and believe what their fathers and grandfathers believe. But she knew inside that Jesus was real, because Jesus had answered her prayer. For the first time ever, she felt joy. For the first time ever, she understood what the concept of sin was, and how there was a God that created all things but created us and wanted a relationship with us, and sent his son Jesus Christ to bridge the chasm between the sin and being disconnected in relationship from him, and allow us to have a personal relationship with a living God. That's the gospel message. It blew her away. But her brother was angry. Her brother was so angry that he came and he found her and he beat her up and he kidnapped her and took her back and hid her away in a place. And he found a Buddhist man and arranged for a marriage between her and a Buddhist man so he could salvage the family name, is what it was all about. She couldn't escape for several weeks. The missionaries began looking for her because she didn't show up to work either. She didn't show up anywhere she's supposed to be. And when they finally found her, they went in literally and had an intervention with about 10 or 12 guys and took her away and kept her in hiding for several months from her family to keep her safe. This young lady never wavered on her faith. She said, and her words were, how could I ever give up on a God who never gave up on me? I'm telling you, we're so westernized and so Christianized here. We don't get how real Jesus really is and how much he really loves us. The good news of the gospel. This young lady ended up going to school, getting her degree. She's helping right now translate literature. In fact, we had a $520,000 project that our district, your church, participated in to help raise funds for Burma Bible College. And she's translating the English literature that will train pastors into Burmese. And she serves as a children's pastor today. Hallelujah. Good news. Yeah. Third thing is the gospel is power. And I can tell you, I don't have time to tell you all the stories. But man, you cannot separate the word gospel from the word power. It's life transformational. And if you read the scripture, it really is tying together that it is the power of God. It is the very expression of God to those that will believe. It is the living presence. You can't separate power from the very nature of God, from God himself, because it is his nature. It is his attribute. When he shows up in the room, he brings power with him because he is power. And he says, and what Paul says, is that this good news message that I am not ashamed and I'm bold about, the reason is because it is the very expression of the life transformational power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story, the narrative of how we can be saved to every Jew, to every Gentile, rich, poor, white, black, whatever language we speak, whatever ethnicity that we are in or live, whatever, it doesn't matter. He says, it's power to us. It changes us. I love this word because in the Greek, it's dunamis. It's where out of the same root word that we get the word dynamite. So it gives you a description of how he's saying that this gospel message is the very dynamite, the expression of God and a powerful cosmic force that though we don't understand everything, changes lives. That's what he's saying. That word's used many times through scripture, and we find out that God transforms. It's translated one place in strength that it was Sarah herself, that she had strength to conceive seed. I'm praying for power in this house to conceive the seeds that God's planted in your lives. Yeah. That whatever God has for you, it will come to fruition in your life and through this church. Amen?
Amen.
I believe God's wanting to do that. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. I was in Nepal again, same story, same church I was at with that pastor, and I preached there. Afterwards, there's a picture up on your screen now, I believe, of a young girl. I met her coming in, and then during worship, I could see her because all the women sit on one side, all the men sit on the other side, if you remember, and she was there, and I could see her in worship, and she was trying. She was trying to worship God, but there was tension, there was strain. She was having a struggle there, and then when I got up to preach, I mean, she just kept coming to me right there, and I didn't know anything. I'm not saying I'm some spiritual guru. In fact, I'm not. I went after the service, we went over, and they had several services. So after that first service, I went over. I'm sitting down with the pastor. We're having coffee. We're just enjoying our time together. And they come and get us, and they said, you need to come over here. This girl needs prayer. And so the pastor went. There was a prayer team already around her. They began telling the story that she was Buddhist, that she had been raised in a Buddhist home, but one of the guys that began witnessing to her, he was there. And she'd already been to church one other time before, and then she showed up here on this Sunday, and they said that she just feels a heaviness all over, that she just can't break through. As a matter of fact, she hasn't been able to sleep in days. She's so overcome with fear. She's afraid that every night she goes to bed and her mom comes in and she burns incense to Buddha in her room, and they set up idols in her room so that they would protect her overnight. But instead of the nightmares going away, they increased and even began to get more vivid. And she was there that day. She was desperate. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know where to go. All she knew was she came one other time. And in her words, she said, I felt something here that I've never felt before. And so she was sitting there, and the pastor said a couple of things and began to minister to her. And then he began to pray for her. And this is what happened. As he began to pray for her, he didn't lay his hand on her yet. He just kept looking at her. And he had his hand stretched about a foot away from her head. And as he began to pray, he said, in the name of Jesus. And whenever he said the name of Jesus, this young, precious girl, it's like she had the strength of 5 to 6 men. She began to writhe around and she began to foam at the mouth. And I've seen this, but not to this intensity before. And I mean, they grabbed her. It took literally five people to hold her while he's praying over her. And he's saying to her, you need to speak the name Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus right now. And she was just, I mean, fine. This probably went on about 5 to 7 minutes, somewhere like that. But as she began to reach out in her spirit, though her body was in a struggle, her body was in a fight, you could see her face contorting. In fact, she even went to the ground, bringing him with her a couple times, and she was literally like a snake doing this on the ground. And they just kept praying in the name of Jesus. And what I loved is no one was scared in the group. That prayer group was not scared at all, dude. They were there to do business. They were the UFC of that church in the spiritual realm. You know what I'm saying? They were there to do business. And of course, I'm sitting there and I'm checking it out, but I got to be honest, Fred. I prayed real quick, God, if I'm not saved, I need to be saved right now. Because I've heard that when demons leave, they're looking for somewhere to go, you know? I'm telling you the truth. This is the way it is. So anyway, but I mean, they begin to pray over her, and as they prayed, boy, that face began to soften. Tears began to flow, and they led her in a prayer, and they said, say this after me, in the name of Jesus. When she said it the first time, she couldn't say it. There was a voice that came out of her. And they said, we command you in the name of Jesus, you leave. And they said, why don't you pray the prayer? And she tried again, a voice came out of her. In the name of Jesus, we command you to leave. They said, okay, say it. She said, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, it was incredible. Tears streaming down her face. She began to weep and she fell limp because it was so exhausting what happened. The next picture is a picture of her because they prayed over her, they ministered to her. And as I was leaving, there's one of our Alabama missionaries, Ramona Jacobs. And Ramona and Doug were there, and Ramona has brought the girl to me. She said, hey, this is the same girl. I don't know if you could tell through these pictures, the countenance, but her countenance was different. There was a glow, there was a smile, there was freedom, there was joy. You know why I'm telling you this? Because the gospel is power. The gospel is power to anyone who believes. And then here's the last thing. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. I like the way he says it. Historically, the Jews, they're the ones that were the first seed. They're the ones that had the opportunity to really spread the gospel. But they rejected Jesus. And God in his perfect plan from the very beginning said, I'm going to be a light to the Gentiles anyway. So he began using Paul to go among the Gentiles. And Paul says, listen, it's for everyone, for the Jews first, but also for the Gentiles. It's for the educated, the uneducated. It's for the white, the black, the rich, the poor. It doesn't matter. It's for everybody. And I don't know about you, but that ought to free us up. One of the biggest hurdles I had in my life is I thought, how could God love me? How could God ever love me? Listen, I know who I was. I shared a little bit with Pastor Fred last night, but when I went, I know I don't look this old, but I had a 20-year high school reunion, all right? I graduated when I was 7 years old. But anyway, when I went back to our 20-year high school reunion, it was one of the most, it was the longest, most fearful drives I've ever been on because my wife did not know me in high school. I was so afraid people were going to come up to her and say, or to me in front of her and say, hey, do you remember the time that da-da-da-da-da? I'm serious. I was scared, Philip. I mean, I don't know how you were saved. Your parents scared you into heaven. I know, but I say that to say that, man, I know me, and God loves me. God cares about me. There's not an addict. There's not a sin. There's nothing you could do for God to say enough's enough. I don't love you anymore. In fact, the Bible says in Romans, because Romans is one of the best books ever for you to get into. And Martin Luther, it so impacted his life. It's in Romans that he discerned and understood that righteousness is literally imputed into our lives. Romans is a great book. It's so deep, it's so rich. But we discover that God loves us no matter who we are and what we do. So here's the thing. What are we here to do this morning? You know, the trunk or treat was great, but if I had a bag of candy and I was giving it to you guys, and I'd say, hey, if I had candy, how many of you over there want candy? Raise your hand if you want free candy. Come on, wave at me. We got a lot. Well, y'all don't have any left there. I'm giving it here. And hey, how many of y'all want candy? And over there, people are going. In fact, there's someone that will not put their hand down that's over there. All right. So we got to meet you afterwards. I'll give you some candy. So anyway, if you keep doing things like that and we never share candy over there, what are we doing? And a lot of times, that's exactly what we do. Titus says that God does bless us, but he blesses us to meet the urgent needs of those that don't have what we have. So what is today all about? Today is about us meeting the urgent needs of those around the world that do not know Jesus Christ yet. There's a story in Numbers, and you'll know this story, but it's a story of Moses and Aaron, and there's some rebellious men, leaders that raise up against Moses. They're mad at him and all this kind of stuff, and God gets tired of it. They even make statements like, well, we're going to take the fire off the altar, the fire of incense, and we can do what Aaron does. We can do what you do. And it wasn't like Moses was wanting this. God chose him, but God got angry, and God set out a plague across the children of Israel. And listen, you hear the heart of Moses here, because Moses said, no, this can't happen. To be honest, he could have been justified. He said, wipe them all out. Aaron and I will take care of this. We'll be the children of Israel. But he tells his brother Aaron, who's the high priest, he says, Aaron, run to the altar, grab the fire, put the incense in the burner, and run out among the people to save whoever you can. And Aaron runs and he grabs the fire and he runs. And as he's running, the line of the dead people are rushing towards him. And he literally makes it somewhere in the middle of all those hundreds of thousands of people with the fire of incense, which is a sacrifice of worship and humility and surrender to God. And he's literally standing between the dead and the living. You know what we're doing today? We're lifting up the fire of God. And we're giving so that we can stand between the dead and the living. That's what this is all about. Thank you, Island Church, for having a heart for God and for what God wants to do through you to touch people in this community and around the world. Lord, in the name of Jesus, use us. Be with us, God. May we respond to you. I give you all the praise. Amen.